If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the New Testament book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. I want to stay in the book of Romans, basically, at least for just asking you to turn, but there are a couple or a few other scriptures that I do want to bring up to you if you want to write them down. We'll have them on the screen available for you. So again, Romans chapter 8. And I'll give you a second there. Romans chapter 8 on the words for those of you joining online, for those of us in person as well. We'll make our confession here in just a moment. And so if you're still looking, it's all right. Just go ahead and continue. But just to take advantage of the time this morning, I would like to invite you to join me as we make this confession together. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the theme. That's the truth I'd like to center in on this morning in the moments that we have. Just simply those eight words, I believe it is, from this scripture. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Doesn't that sound just life and peace? I love life and peace. Life and peace. To be spiritually minded. So to be spiritually minded is the root. Life and peace are the fruit. We all probably want the life and peace. In fact, the word life there can refer to both physical life and spiritual life. And I looked this word up, peace. I figured it was probably close to the Old Testament word of shalom, peace, and it is. But just a real simple definition of this word for peace. It does, of course, mean peace, but it means harmony, tranquility, and welfare. It's like well-being. So harmony, tranquility, and welfare. And that's a peace. The Bible talks about a peace that we can have with God when our sins are forgiven by faith in Jesus, but it also speaks of a peace of God that can guard our hearts and minds regardless of circumstances or emotions and so forth. That's supernatural peace. If everything's going my way, I can understand that one. The peace of God that passes understanding is supernatural peace. And so again, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The first part of that verse says, for to be carnally minded. Some translations use the word fleshly. It's not referring to our body so much as our human tendency to sin. So if our mind is just focused on sin, then of course we're not gonna have the peace of God, certainly, and possibly not the life of God. We may have physical life, but not the spiritual life. But that tendency towards sin is our natural mindset. So let me give you a couple scriptures if you just want to write them down, and we'll stay right here in Romans. But the first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me read these two verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Again, I just want you to see that this is what our natural mindset is. The Bible says, verse 3, but if our gospel is veiled, the good news of Jesus, if it's covered under a veil, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And the context of this speaks about how when we can read scripture and before we know the Lord and God's spirit teaches us truth, it's like a veil is over our mind and we can't really have that spiritual understanding. But whenever we turn to the Lord, that veil is removed. But he goes on in verse 4 and he says that if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded. See, Satan is the little g, god of this age. In other words, he has influence in the world today over that darkness of sin. And the key is not just the intellect. It says he's blinded their minds because they do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel, the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. See, the devil wants to blind our minds to the light of God's truth, to the light of his word, to keep us in unbelief. But when we do turn to the Lord, light enters. But here is the real key, I believe, for us, even as followers of Jesus. This is what it says again, if you want to just write this scripture down, in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read it to you, verse 17 and 18. Ephesians 4:17 says, "Now I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk or live as the rest of the Gentiles walk." That's not speaking of ethnicity. That's speaking of those who don't know the Lord, of unbelief. So here's, let me keep reading that verse. He says, don't walk or live that way in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated or separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the, and that word blindness is the word for hardness and stubbornness. Here's how we could be. He's writing this to Christians. And when God's Spirit convicts me, convicts us of sin and unbelief, and draws us to the truth to believe in our heart that Jesus is the sinless Son of God, He crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, and he is Lord. When we believe that in our heart and call on him to forgive us, that he is Lord, God forgives all of our sins. His Holy Spirit indwells us. He enters our heart to help us live for Jesus and do God's will. But as followers of Jesus, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know this, we still have the potential to walk in or live like the old ways. That's why he said in that scripture in Ephesians, I'm asked, don't do that. Don't live like those whose thoughts are futile and whose hearts are hardened. You're called to a higher way of living. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Would you say that with me? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So how can we be spiritually minded? And I want to make it personal the way I'll write it or confess it. Three steps right here in the scripture from the book of Romans of how we can develop that spiritual mindset, because again, it's not necessarily our norm. So we can even be forgiven. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside. We have to have him to be spiritually minded. But then there are some action steps we need to take to develop that, because it's not automatic. So here's the first step I believe we can take. He says in Romans 8:6, let me read it to you once again. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the first step I take is I check my mind. To check my mind. So I'll ask myself, or I need to, what have I been dwelling on? Because this is how God designed us. Our thoughts affect our emotions. And then our emotions, when they become strong enough, affect our actions. Thoughts, emotions, actions. Would you say that with me? Thoughts, emotions, actions. I can purposely think thoughts to make me mad about something, Kim, to just upset my emotion. I could think about some, just because we've been together for years. And she got plenty on me too that she could. It's both ways. I'm not saying it's one way. But start thinking, and just your mind will start pulling up everything for us for 30 some years. And then that becomes my focus. Next thing I know, I'm feeling turmoil up in my emotions and my desires. And then I'm just going to be a little passive aggressive about it. I'm not going to come against her, but she wants me to do something. I'm just not going to do it. But do you see where it started? thoughts. But if I began to think, I remember the first time I saw her. In youth group, actually, or at church, in church. And but I could start thinking of all the time she surprised me with this or did something like that. And then the next thing, and I can start, but do you see it works both ways? So if I want to have God's life and peace, so I've got to think, wait a minute, what have I been dwelling on? And what have my thoughts produced in my attitudes and my emotions and my actions? So what have I been dwelling on, and what have my thoughts produced in my attitudes? Because I can give myself a bad attitude. In my emotions, give myself turmoil, or just take a deep breath and, Lord, I just want to thank you. And I begin to focus on the goodness of God. Thank God that he's with me, and thank God that he's for me, and so forth. And I begin to calm my emotions and calm my anxiety and worry down. But I'm asking myself, what actions are my thoughts producing? And then the second step is, if I realize that what I've been dwelling on is not producing life and the peace of God, then I have to purposely set my mind on what pleases God's Holy Spirit. So the first step is I check my mind. Second step is I set my mind. So I check my mind, my whole attitude, my mindset, and then I set my mind in a particular direction. And that scripture is found in the verse right before it, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 reads this way: for those who live according to the flesh, again, the sinful tendency, set their minds, would you say that with me? Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, and even though it's not worded there, it's implied, those who live according to the Holy Spirit set their minds on the things of the Holy Spirit. So if my life is, if I'm in turmoil and just dominated by worry, fear, anger, resentment, then I have to purposely set my mind on what pleases God, and by the power of his Holy Spirit. I believe it's more than just human willpower that's needed. I can't be spiritually minded the way God desires without the Spirit of God and his grace empowering me. But I thank God I can do it by his grace if I trust him and just be obedient to what he says. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I remember that's what it actually means to be spiritually minded. And this is so important. Please hear me on this. This is how we walk in the promises of God. The promises are available, but they are not automatic. Someone said, where the mind goes, the man follows. Or the woman. So where the mind goes, the man follows. So if I want to follow God and his will and his blessings and promises and walk in the life and peace of God, I've got to set my mind in that direction so that I follow along. Let me give you a scripture here if you want to write it down. Because the Bible tells us the Old Testament accounts were written for our learning and to instruct us and to admonish us. And the nation of Israel, God chose a man named Abraham and his descendants, and God says, you're my people, I'm going to give you a land called the land of Canaan. God delivered them supernaturally, his people, out of slavery, over 400 years in Egypt. And God says, all right, everywhere you put your foot, I've already given it to you, but the enemy's just going to leave. You've got to go believe me and drive them out. Do you see the spiritual correlation? God has promises us for us in Christ, but the devil just doesn't say, oh, well, you're a Christian now, I'm not gonna bother you. No, we must submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee, and we can walk in the promises of God. Because he's gonna oppose him, that's just who he is. He's the adversary who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he doesn't just give up on us because we are followers of Jesus. So here they are at the border of the promised land. And they didn't want to just believe God. They wanted to send out some spies. Check it out. Well, they did. They sent out 12. And 10 of them came back. And the Bible says they gave a bad report. And an entire generation missed the promised land because they did not believe God's word. And as a result, here's what they did. See if any of this sounds familiar. They complained. They charged God with evil intentions, and they wanted to go back to their old way of living. They had been slaves all of their lives, and it was all they knew. And even though it wasn't healthy and it wasn't good for them and it wasn't God's best, it was their fruitless comfort zone, and they would rather go to their comfort zone than trust God for what they didn't know. Let me read these verses real quick. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, verse 2. So all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Verse 11 tells the reason why they had that mindset, because God spoke up and he said, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Brothers and sisters, God has been good to us and he has blessed us if we would just be willing to look and to thank him for them. Let's not doubt the goodness of God. Let's believe what God says in his word. And then let's move forward in and toward the promises of God. Thank God we don't have to be like the 10. I love the example of Joshua and Caleb. The Bible says this in verse 6, still in Numbers 14. Verse 6 says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Now look at this verse 8. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people. See where fear came in because of they didn't want to believe? He says, don't fear the people, for they are our bread. They said, we're going to eat these guys for lunch. He says, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Would you say that? The Lord is with us, so do not fear. Oh, man. But you see how we could follow that path if we chose to in unbelief. But thank God, I believe, I'm going to confess it. We're going to follow the examples of Joshua and Caleb, and we're going to walk in everything that God has provided for us because we're going to believe God, and we're going to develop a spiritual mind and walk in the life and peace that God sent his son to die and purchase for us. Amen. Whose report will you believe? All right, so would you say, check my mind and set my mind? Now, here's what Joshua and Caleb did. They didn't just think it. They didn't just believe it. They spoke it. And 40 years later, when they were at that border again, God said, this time, I want you to march around the city for a week. Don't open your mouth. I won't take any chance of unbelief and doubt and fear all coming out. That spreads too easy. Y'all just go ahead. Just don't say anything. And then on the seventh day, go ahead and give God a praise, just like you've already won the battle. That's faith. So we can use our mouth to help set our mind and to transform our mind. And that's the third step. Is to check my mind, set my mind, and then renew my mind. Romans chapter 12, to renew my mind. Two verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. To be spiritually minded, is life and peace. Let me read these two verses and I'll come back and just look at a couple of truths for us, I believe, practical to help us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Scripture says, let me get back to it. Romans chapter 12, I lost my spot. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I got to pause there just a second. By the mercies of God. It goes back into chapter 11. Remember, man has put the chapters and verses, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But because we've all been in unbelief and disobedience, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to group all humanity into disbelief so that I can have mercy on everyone. Not to condemn us, to have mercy. Man, think about that. God, in his mercy, gave his own son to suffer and die on the cross to pay for our sins so that we would not have to face and suffer what Jesus called the condemnation of hell. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is him giving us what we don't deserve. But he said, brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you. I beseech you by God's mercies that you present your bodies, that is, offer your bodies, dedicate your body, yield your body. I like the word dedication. It has that idea in it. He says, present or dedicate your bodies as a living sacrifice. Would you say living? Living. We're not dead sacrifices. We're not even dying sacrifices. We're living sacrifices. And so he says, dedicate yourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, or pleasing to God, which is just your reasonable service. It just makes sense. It's your spiritual worship to give yourself completely to God because of his mercy and giving himself completely to you. This comes first, then the next verse. This is so important. Please hear me on this. Without this dedication, we will not be faithful in the process of renewing our mind, because renewing takes effort, time, and consistency. And sometimes we don't stick with it and we won't get the transformation that comes along with the renewing. So the dedication comes first so that we will be faithful in that process, because it's not easy and it's not overnight. It's work to renew our minds, but it's worth it. It's God's method of transformation. That means growing in Christ's likeness. So he said the proper response to God's mercy is go ahead and dedicate yourself to God. Then verse 2, then out of your dedication, and do not be conformed. That means to be shaped into a mold or pattern. Do not be conformed to this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or even discern what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But see, without that dedication and the renewing, we can say we won't do it, but we just have too much of a tendency in our own fleshly nature, our tendency towards sin and a world system that really opposes God and his will. If we do not dedicate and then renew, we will allow this world system to shape us into its mold of immorality, lust of the flesh, materialism, lust of the eyes. I need more stuff. I just gotta have possessions, or greed and pride, the pride of life. We will allow the world to pressure us and squeeze us into that mold unless we counter it like a salmon going upstream against the natural flow by renewing our mind and growing in Christ's likeness and become transformed and spiritually minded so that we can have the life and peace of God. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Would you say that with me? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So again, think about, I check my mind, where have my thoughts been? I see what it's producing. All right, now I gotta set my mind. Then I have to renew my mind. Would you look at this again in verse 2? Because transformation is the process of growing in Christ's likeness. Do not be conformed to this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll give you one last scripture in Ephesians to explain about what that is, about the renewing of the mind. But again, it's discipline. Would you say discipline? Would you say effort? And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So maybe I just had to ask myself, which of God's promises do I not want to walk in? Well, I don't want to miss any of them. So I've got to dedicate, and then I've got to renew. Let me give you this scripture if you just want to write it down. It's found in Ephesians, still back in chapter 4. And then I'll give you an example and I'll close. Romans, or Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says this, beginning in verse 22, that you put off, would you say put off? Concerning your former conduct, the old man, speaking about our old sinful nature, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we put off. Then he says in verse 23, and be renewed. That's actually literally be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 24, and that you put on, would you say put on? Put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. So renewing our mind then is the process of putting off our old sinful thoughts and ways, and we all have them, and putting on the Christ-like thoughts and ways that come with our new nature and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So I got to thinking about this, and our mind is like a canvas. And I began to think, what is on the canvas of my mind? Because our canvas, our mind, is how we see life. It's how we see God. It's how we see ourselves. It's how we see one another. And I'll be honest, I've got some old images still in my mind that I need to erase and replace. Maybe y'all can relate. And it's a constant erasing and replacing in our mind, because there's always something to attack our minds and our own tendency to sin. So I began to think, some may have the mentality that, well, God has never done anything for me. He's the one who's made my life miserable, and he's made it hard on me, and he's against me. Or maybe my canvas, what's in my mind, is not only the wrong view of God, maybe it's the wrong view of myself. Maybe I'm ugly and I'm stupid, or I'm just a loser. I could never achieve a goal. I could never do anything. I'm immoral. It just consumes me. All of my thoughts are evil. I'm so insecure. I'm dominated and controlled by fear. I'm trying to think how to draw fear. I'm so scared. Or maybe I don't trust anyone. People are a bunch of hypocrites. And if you hurt me, I'm going to get even with you. Now, this may not be, well, it's not actually true, but our perspective is our reality. But do you see how that just being negative and critical and fearful and just insecure, if we see life this way, don't you think it's going to affect our relationship with God? It's going to affect how not only my own self-image, but because it affects how I see myself, it's going to affect how I treat others, because the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love. So I need to erase and replace. So instead of God's the one who made my life miserable, how about let's erase that and say, God loves me, and he showed how much at the cross. And I'm not going to confess. In fact, I'm going to confess that my God is for me and not against me. And he's blessed me with life, breath, and all things. And in him, I live and move and have my being. Do you see how we're starting to that's renewing our mind. It's getting the old out and putting the new in. I'm not a loser. Oh, sorry. For those of you listening, nothing happened, nothing broke. I'm not hurt. But I did drop the marker board. But what about if instead of how stupid, ugly, or whatever I am, how about I am remarkably and wonderfully made by a Father who loves me and I'm created in his image? And instead of I'm just consumed by immorality, how about Jesus freed me to live a life of pure and holy love? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And by God's grace, I'm not gonna get even. I'm gonna give place to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And by God's grace, I'm gonna love my neighbor as myself, and I'm gonna live free from resentment and revenge and unforgiveness, and I'm gonna walk in the blessing and promises of God. How about that? And keep your board clean. How about this? How about let's replace it? Because we can't just have an empty mind, right?
That's right.
How about to be spiritually minded is life and peace? So I'm going to check my mind. And when I see that my thoughts aren't producing what I desire and glorifying God, I'm going to set my mind and I'm going to commit to renewing my mind and I'm going to walk in the blessings of God because I believe that he will use me for his honor and glory if I just do what he tells me to do. So it's ultimately not just about me. I'll get blessed and God will use me so that he gets the glory and others can come into the same blessing too. That's how God wants to use us. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now let me close with this. Let's just take a moment before we pray. And let's examine, let's check our minds and our mindset. See, the children of Israel, that generation never set their minds to trust God and believe him for guidance and provision and protection. Let's believe God and then seek him. So Father, we come before you right now. And we ask you to search our heart and mind. Lord, this is not to condemn. This is just to reveal what you may want to heal and to help us develop a mindset that would take us toward you and your promises. Lord, we want you in our lives. Help us to be faithful. I want to ask you today, just between you and the Lord, would you just answer this question? Will you dedicate yourself to God and ask him to help you renew your mind? He will help us if we trust him. Just dedicate ourselves to God afresh, even today, and then to renew our minds. And by his grace and for his glory, let's walk in God's perfect will. That's what he said, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Father, I pray that you would help us to do it today and even give us a scripture that we could meditate on. Show us, Lord, maybe it's Romans 8, maybe it's Romans 12, I don't know. But whatever it is, help us to, Lord, get that truth in us. Help us to, I want to pray that you would supernaturally help us to remove some of the old images and those words that have come against us and even our own thoughts that are on the canvas of our minds right now and hearts. And we want you to come with the Holy Spirit eraser. Help us to remove those and help us to replace them with the truth that is life-giving and peace-producing. In Jesus' name, amen.